Okay, Sunday night, we're after Sukkot, so I guess this is called the first year of the winter of 69 of Tashin Samach Tes. It's the 13th shir in Perek Dalet in Shar HaBitachon, Le'ilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson, and in the sefer that I use, it's on page Kuf Mem Ches, and it's the first paragraph that starts on the page, with the words Avol Bir in Yoni Achelek Hashlishi. Paragraph V deals with how to implement bitachon in various situations in life, and he's up to the third situation that he's talking about. He talked about parnasa, he talked about life, he talked about a person has money, has a lot of money, how much money, and now he's going to talk about a third subject matter. The first subject matter was basic subsistence, you know, basic sustaining oneself. The second one's having more money than one's needs. And now he's up to the third inyan. How to implement bitachon in blank. Hu inyan b'nei beiso. A person has all types of relationships with other people. There's other people always intrude upon life. This is true certainly to women who have always, Be'ezus Hashem, usually have children around. There's people in the house, Bnei Beiso, Ubonov, or children, Ukrovov, relatives, Mishpachto, families. You have to go to Chasanas, Bar Mitzvahs. You have a vart to go to, a Sheva Brachas. There's always something going on. The Yedidah, you have friends, you have relationship. The Sonov, you have sometimes, chas v'shalom, negative relationships with people. Umakirov, acquaintances, not dafka friends, but acquaintances. The chaverov, umishalamala mimenu, someone you have a relationship with, that you're the giver, the other person's the taker, you're the mashpia, the other person's the mushpa. You can have that type of relationship with someone. Umishalamala mimenu means, the reverse. Someone who is in the position of being mashpia on you, and you like receive things from that relationship, or they're in a position of power above you, they can control certain things in your life, whether it's your boss, or sometimes it's a husband, sometimes it could be even a friend, that you want to find favor in their eyes, whatever, so that's Lamala Mimenu. He's just describing the whole gamut of relationships. Mishalamata Mimenu. You're in the upper position. Midargus Bnei Adam. So what does it have to do with Bitachon? What do relationships have to do with Bitachon? Hare open ha Bitachon hanochon al Hashem bohem kemoshe avoyer. I'm going to explain how to implement bitachon and what you should be thinking about these relationships and how you should be dealing with them. What is the Baal Bitachon? How does the Baal Bitachon deal with these relationships? So, before we go further, I'll just give one slight sentence as a hakdama, because what he's going to say might sound very radical. So that sentence is that we have to remember, we believe in Hashem. We believe that Hashem sent our neshamas down to this world for a purpose. And the ultimate purpose, the greater purpose, is to become close to Hashem. So even if things are sometimes uncomfortable or he suggests things that seem strange or uncomfortable, so there's ways of dealing with it, but it's like saying, like there's an expression, you have to keep your eye on the eight ball, right? A person really, ideally, again, you know, we get pulled down by everyday living, but the ultimate goal is to become close to Hashem. To bond with Hashem. That's the ultimate. So we have to keep that in mind when we learn what he's going to say now. V'hu shekolodim lo yibotzer me'achad mishnei dvarim. Person is going to be in one of two situations. Oshiyeger, I mean, he takes the two extremes. Then most people find themselves in the middle, you know, along the spectrum. But he takes the two extremes. Oshiyeger, and he feels he's all alone in the world. He doesn't have relationships. He's alone. He doesn't have obligatory relationships. Oh, Baal Mishpacha Ukrovim. Now again, these are prototypes and these are extremes. When he talks about the ger, he talks about a person who feels alone. Sometimes, and every person sometimes feels alone. They feel abandoned by their friends, they feel abandoned by life. They feel. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Maybe we call it depression. You feel all of a sudden you have no one to rely on. You have everybody. Ki avi ve'imi azavuni, right? David HaMelech says. That's a ger. A ger has no one to rely on. A ger has no one that's automatically going to come to his aid. He has no one that naturally would be there for him. Or as I'm saying, every person feels this way at times. Or most people feel this way at times. No one understands them. No one really, even that, right? I say, well, I have plenty of people that are here to help me, but no one really understands how I feel. And, you know, sometimes we search for people who have been in similar situations, such as we are. Like a person, Rechmanu Litzlan, sometimes in a Velus feels that the people who are coming to be Menachem Avol don't really understand how they feel. And there are situations in life where everybody feels this way. You know, I'm picking very extreme examples. But this feeling of loneliness, of nobody understands me, and nobody knows what I'm going through, no one feels my pain, no one really understands my struggle. There's a loneliness that people have. Emoya ger, yimtza nichumim b'shem, b'eis shimimono, v'yiftacholov b'eis geruso. You're never alone. A person is never alone. A person should always feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directing his life, his or her life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directing the things that are happening. And Hashem is writing the script. And Hashem is there for him. Hashem loves him. Hashem is going to give the strength to get through what they're going through. So if no one understands you, Hashem understands you. Hashem understands you better than you understand yourself. Because we're not always yored to the omek, to the depth of our consciousness, or of, certainly not of our subconsciousness, what's motivating us, what's making us feel that way. And Hashem is yodei machshavos. Hashem knows everything that's bubbling inside of us, and what's causing it, and if it's where it's coming from. So there's someone that understands you. And a person should think that way, says the Chazal Shalom. When you're in a situation where you feel there's no relationship to help you, you have no support, you should know Hashem is always there. And Hashem knows what you're going through, and Hashem understands you, and Hashem is there for you. You could talk to him, you could the Baal Bitachon feels Hashem's presence when he's alone. That's what the Baal B'tochon should do in this situation. And he's going on this extreme of the spectrum of relationships. When you have none, I'm just adding, remember that this applies to anybody at specific times in their lives. It could be specific times of the day, but specific times of their lives. Hashem is there. The Yiftachol of Beis Geruso. And now he says an amazing thing. He says, "V'yale alibo." This is, you know what you should imagine? Imagine how your neshama feels. Your neshama was having a good time up in Shemayim. It was Nene Miziv Hashchina. It was in a spiritual world where it belongs. And all of a sudden, someone came along and threw it into this world. And it's a ger. Your neshama is a ger. It's foreign. It's trapped in a body. No one understands the neshama's needs. And then the neshama's all alone. No one understands what it needs, what it wants, and it's like trapped in this magusham body that has strange wants and desires, and it's all foreign to the neshama. Like, get me out of here. Like, let me go back to Hashem. Like, what am I doing involved in all these things for? The Yale Alibo, imagine Geirus Nefesh Ba'olam Hazeh. Let's first of all, V'shekol Anshe Ha'oretz B'maylas Geirim Bo. He says, really? Two things. Notice if you're feeling, when you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you're having trouble accessing that image that Hashem is with you. So he says, think of two examples, and therefore you're not lonely. You're boteach b'Hashem. Hashem is there. So if you're having trouble accessing that, he's giving two suggestions, two things to realize, and say, you know, here are constant geirim. One is the neshama, the nefesh in this world. So what does the nefesh have in this world? Teretz is it's Hashem sent it there, and Hashem is waiting for it to come back. And Hashem understands the neshama, and Hashem knows what the neshama needs. And Hashem gave a Torah so that the neshama could accomplish things in this world. So Hashem is directing the neshama's life and put it in the situation that it's in, for its benefit and for a reason. And so that's one way of thinking about it. I guess it didn't, Mrs. Schaefer, I feel bad. I'm not. Yeah, okay. We're shifting the schedule of the Chavis Valdovas Shir as an experiment. I have a feeling the experiment's going to fail. I'll tell you why. But it's just an experiment. We're trying out learning Chavis Halvodas from 9 to 9:40, and then opening the floor to questions, any questions you want, except who to vote for. Leave me alone. Any questions you want, even who to vote for, the last 20 minutes. We're trying that. Maybe. Okay, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So first of all, think of the Nefesh. And then he says really a very sobering thought and almost depressing. He says, I got news for you. Everyone's a ger. Everyone ultimately is really alone in this world. Because only you are responsible for yourself. And only you can do what has to be done. And only everybody, you say, oh, I'm all alone, no one understands me. No one really understands anybody. Everybody is unique, and everybody has to make decisions and be responsible and make decisions and has nisyonos. And everybody is like their own world. And no one really, like, so even you see somebody it's always there's people in the house, and they're always surrounded by friends, and they're always surrounded by neighbors, and they're social animals, and they always seem to have someone to talk to or talk to them. It's just a different lifestyle, he says. At the end of the day, they're alone, and they have to make decisions alone, and they have to. You know, so he says, and V'shekol anshei ha'aretz b'maylos geirim bo. It's not, superficially it looks like they're partying and they're, but ultimately everyone's the same. You have different things going on in your life, but it boils down to you. Boils down to you. K'maymer ha'kosov, k'geirim v'soshovim atom imodi. The pasuk in Vayikra, it's the reason why fields go back. Excuse me, why fields and servants, slaves, go free in Yovel. Because ultimately, it's like what happens in Yovel. Everything, I think, in a. Sometimes you have like a play, they go back to position one. And position one is like where everybody was standing when you started the story. Like when you have a play, the director will say, okay, position one. So in Yovel, everything comes back to position one. All the karkos go back, the avodim go back. So everyone goes back and they have to start life all over again. So we're all gerim. We're all just in situations, but ultimately it's just, we are what we are. It's just outside trappings. It's not us. I am what I am. I'm affected by my surroundings. I have nisyonos based on my surroundings, but ultimately everybody stands alone with their neshama, and they're alone. So everybody's alone. So and everybody has Hashem. So don't be. A person can get depressed. A person without friends. A person could be friendless. And then, so if someone would come to me and doesn't have friends, I would say, "Kenei lecha chaver, follow the advice of Chazal and try to make friends." That's a good day. But Chazal Vodas is talking to a person. You have people who are loners and they don't have anyone. And Chas V'Shalom, they can get really, really depressed. So he's talking. Soon he's going to talk to the person that has no time to think, because they have families and there's always stuff going on, and the doorbell's always ringing and the phone's always ringing, and they have no time for themselves. That's going to come in a few lines, how they should use their bitachon to deal with that situation. But now he's on the other extreme. Person is lonely and feels he has no one in the world. He's saying, you have Hashem. And just remember that your neshama is lonely. Your neshama is in a foreign land. Doesn't have any friends, doesn't have any relatives, doesn't have any neighbors. No one understands it. And everybody really is ultimately alone at the end of the day. So don't feel sorry for yourself, and don't feel like you're in such a terrible position. It's just outer trappings. It's just chitzonius. The yachshav v'libo, and now he gets more intense. He says, realize, shekol mi sheyesh lo krovim, all of these people you see who are with people and with family and friends, and there's always something going on, and you see, wow, look at them. He says, in a short few years, you'll see, though, you're going to be alone. He had ger bodeit, right? Please pardon the expression. When you're in Shamgar, and, that's it. There's no friends, and there's no neighbors, and there's no, it's just you. And what did you do with your life? And how did you act? And ultimately, he's saying, a person is alone. Every single person is a unit, and is, that's just, this person, just like one person can live in South America, and one person could live in Israel, and one person could live in Paris. So one person could have a family and friends, and one person could be all alone. It's the same thing. It's just differing circumstances. Lo yo'ilu lo krovim, all of his relatives, all of his relationships are not going to do him any good. v'lo bonim, v'lo yilaveyu avechad mehem. It's all going to stop at the end, by the door, and in Shamgar, it all stops. You have to face, what did you make of yourself? What did you do? What did you do with your neshama? And you're alone. Nobody's going to help you. No one's going to give you support. No one's going to acknowledge. You know, no one's going to understand you. It's just you and Hashem. Okay, that's his first point. How does the Baal Bitachon deal with loneliness? A, by realizing that he's not really, he or she is not really lonely. You have Hashem with you. You have a constant presence. And really, everybody is lonely. Everybody's alone, ultimately. That's his first point. His second point is, you should be thrilled. You should be thrilled. People who, and again, this is going to sound strange to us, perhaps, so I'll repeat my Hakdama, that the ultimate goal is to become close to Hashem. He says, you should be thrilled. You know, people with families, you know what obligations they have. They have to spend so much of their lives meeting their obligations. If they're in a parnosa for them, they have to go to chasanas, they have to act certain ways, right? They spend most of their lives relating to the other people because the other people are part of their lives. You're alone. You don't have anyone. You are so lucky. You can just, your life is one of his bodhidus. You can perfect yourself. You don't owe anyone anything. Your time is your own. Your life is your own. You can daven Shmoneh Esrei for 2.5 hours. There's no one to bother you. You don't have to go to a chasana. I tell you, when I was in Avel, the first time when I lost my mother, Aleha Shalom, and then I went through the year not going to any simchas, I have to tell you, after a few months, I was very happy. I said, this is great. Look at this. This is fantastic. I'm sorry it came to an end. I said, like, maybe I could, like, extend this a little. And they got married anyway, without me. Right? Yeah, they didn't miss me. They got married. No one said, oh, we can't get married. Chaim Linowitz was not there. Because Bonnie knows this is how a Baal Bitachon copes with the situation he's in. His real point is that a Baal Bitachon internalizes that every situation he or she finds themselves in is tailor-made for their spiritual and personal growth. And he is just giving you ideas and aitzes how to realize it and some possibilities. So he's saying, don't feel bad for yourself. Everybody's alone, and you just feel it. Or you just imagine you're more alone than other people. And then he's saying, well, you know, you've escaped. You have a lot of miles that other people don't have. Right? Hashem is giving you an opportunity here. Look what you can do. You're free. You're free to. He says, the yachshuv hazeh, the yizbonin ol, he should contemplate. And he uses very funny lashonos there. It's going to make us cringe. Al hipotro, he's potter, me'otzem ma'amostom, uzuchuyoseihem, they have demands on his time. When you're around people, that people have demands on your time. So, and you have to be nice, you have to fulfill the not the bachavero, so they take away from your time. He's saying, you vote for his bodhidus. You should wish you're alone and no one's bothering you, and it's just you and Hashem. We don't, it's just me and Hashem, and you can think about Hashem and contemplate his godless and talk to him. The Yachshuv is a tova. He should consider this one of the tovos, be tovos Hashem olav. Hashem, thank you. I'm all alone. Thank you so much. Why? Lefi Even if the person is into Olam Hazeh, so he's any better off alone than having a family, and he has to earn more money, and he has to support them, then he has to marry them off. Like, he's better off being alone. He's not describing what a person should pray for. He's describing how a person should be mismodeid with whatever situation he or she finds themselves in. When the situation is there, part of bitachon is to realize it's from Hashem, and to realize it's for your good and for your personal growth. And he's describing how that would be. So he says, even if you're into Olam Hazeh, isn't it great to be alone? You can travel, you can see the world, you're not meshuva to the school yet, right? Isn't it great? And you could, you have torcho v'yigio yoser kalo. What you have to do in Olam Hazeh, you have to earn money. It's certainly easier. The lo b'nei bayis ubonim v'nimtza hey odram menucha lo. He's at peace. He's alone. He's a kishmak. So, you know, it sounds funny to us, but again, when the situation exists, this is how a Baal Bitachon copes with it. And, you know, and this is how Hashem chose his life to be. This is what a single girl that's old and is not getting married. So it's more complicated than we're learning it in the Chovos HaLevavos, because he's talking in extremes. So if someone would ask me, well, if someone doesn't have children, they shouldn't be mispalel for children? So there's always this dichotomy with bitachon, where you have a right to daven for things, but at the same time, you're accepting the situation, and you're saying, you know, if Hashem doesn't grant me my wish, it means that this is the way it's supposed to be, and this is the best thing for my neshama. And we just have to live with that dichotomy, where we pray for things, and we want them to be different. Chavir Lovis is going now on the other side of the coin. He's teaching us how to deal with it. Tefillah is not bitachon. We've said that many times. Tefillah is beyond bitachon. Tefillah is the koach to break through the situation we're in. We decide we want something. We decide it would be good for us. Hashem's withholding it for some reason. We don't know why. We think it would be good in our lives. So the Torah does not demand, at least initially, that we accept it. The Torah says, daven. You have a right to daven. You should daven for parnosa, you should daven for children, you should daven for nachas, you should daven for seichel, you should daven for good friends. But that's really doesn't belong in Shar HaBitachon. That's something to talk about. And so, but it's really, it really, when you learn Shar HaBitachon, you really appreciate and get an inkling of how powerful tefillah is. Because despite everything we're learning in Shar HaBitachon, that Hashem does what's best for you, and you know it's from Hashem, and it's the best thing for your neshama. I'm going off the topic now, because we are learning Shar HaBitachon. But wow, look how powerful tefillah is. That Hashem, all what I just said is true. That Hashem puts us in situations, and that's what our neshama, it's best for our neshama, and we're supposed to be that way. And it's best for our personal growth, and I accept it as Hashem's will. Hashem created that situation, and it's best for me, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then Hashem comes to me and says, and this is like, wow, I can daven. Hashem says, you know something? If you want something, I'm being mechadesh, tefillah. That even though everything that Rabbi Blitowitz just said is true, but I'm creating that you can ask for something and it has a force, it has a power. if I could accomplish in my tefillah, let's say a person accomplishes a tefillah that they'll have parnosa, or that they'll have a child, or that they'll get a shidduch, it means that your man is pulling the strings on Hashem, so to speak, because of the system that he set up, will now reorder your whole life, and you'll have a whole new set of nisyonos, a whole new set of growth stimulants, a whole new set of shleimus components for your neshama. And I'm like, wow, I never realized how powerful bitachon is, how tefillah is. I never realized it. But if you want to share bitachon, you say, well, I'm supposed to be accepting of it. Why should I daven to anything? Why don't I just have bitachon? And part of that is saying, this is what Hashem wants for me. Okay, so I'm digressing, because we're not learning Shar HaTfilah now. I'm mentioning it because it's an obvious question that comes up. As he's describing how accepting we should be of what Hashem does to us, we say, well, wow, this tefillah, like, look what a matana Hashem gave us, because everything is true. It's all true that Hashem's a native and picked the best of all possible worlds to put us in. And still, he gave us tefillah. Because he wants us to have that kind of relationship with him. He wants us to have a Hashem. Also, in addition to everything else, he wants us to have a Hashem that we can turn to, Be'ez Saroseinu, when we're feeling. Excuse me, I'm really sick. I'm trying not to breathe on you.
Can I give them a hot water?
No, this is fine. I just need the water. Thank you. It's to me, when I realized this, it was like it made tefillah so much more special. Like, I'm changing the whole bria, because Hashem wants us to have a Hashem that we could talk to, and we could ask for things. Because it's more personal. It's more, I feel like I have that tati to turn to and to ask things for. And he listens to me. The Rambam says that it's a pasuk in Chumash. Umi goy gadol asher lo alokim krovim a love, kashem alokeinu b'chol kareinu a love. There's such a thing. Hashem, Avraham Aminu turned to Hashem and davened to him. It really goes back to Noach davened to Hashem. Anyway, but now we're learning bitachon. So realize that he's teaching us how to deal with situations once from the perspective of their existence. They are. This is the way it is. It's a very difficult thing in life. Someone asked me the other day, it's a good question. Someone talked to me, they want more children. It's not going. And they wanted to know, like, and then there's a certain physical things they could do in medicine. And, we all are familiar with the term extraordinary measures. And maybe it is extraordinary, maybe it's not. It's not clear. Nowadays, we're living in a world where Hashem was megalah, such chokhmah in the world of medicine. And I don't know if there's anything extraordinary anymore. Everything's normal and accessible. I mean, if you have the money to pay for it. And then this tefillah. And then, I wanted to know, like, maybe we should just accept it. Maybe we should just accept it as the way Hashem wants our lives to be. I don't have an answer. If you're waiting to hear, there's no answer. There's no answer, But as long as there's something to do and you can daven, there's no obligation to. It's really intuitive. Sometimes your neshama just speaks to you and says, you know, this is the way it's going to be. I give up. I mean, sometimes you give up. Maybe you shouldn't give up, but sometimes you do. So then you don't have to get depressed. You know, when you give up, you're allowed to put yourself in that mode. As though, is there? I don't know if you ever have to. It says by Chana, that's famous, and by Sora, the Ramban says, not by Sora, I'm sorry, by Rachel. Right? She tells Yaakov, you know, I want you to daven for me. And Yaakov says, it's not going. You know, I daven and I have children. Yeah, you don't have children, just, you know, that's the way it's going to be. I have children and you don't. So Rachel says, I'll daven for myself. Which is what Chana said. After it, the Mefarshim say it about Chana and Elkanah, but really the Ramban says it about Rachel and Yaakov. That Elkanah says to her, you know, just accept the fact that you're not going to have children. And Halo Anochi Tov Lach Me'asar Rabbanim. So we have a relationship, and we will accomplish in Ruchnius, you know, whatever 10 children would have been. Their goal was only to serve Hashem. He wouldn't have said that. You know, their goal was to serve Hashem. So then Chana says, "I'll daven for myself." You go to the Rebbe. You go to Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky and the Rebbe and sit in the chair. Everything, and then it doesn't work. So you say, "You know what? I'm going to daven for myself." And that's as the Ramban says by Rachel, that's what Hashem was waiting for. That intensity of tefillah. When she felt, you know, I'm going to just daven for myself. I have no one else. I'm daven for myself. What do I need these people for? I need their favors. And that's what Hashem was waiting for. There was some part of her that was holding back. Ramban says this in Chumash. There was some part of her that was holding back. And that intensity, when she davened for herself, that broke through. Okay, I'm getting into the union of tefillah. Not an easy thing, but at some point, sometimes you have to accept it. Sometimes the years have ticked by, and you know, this is the way it's going to be. So the Chayyim of Lovus is teaching us, don't get depressed, and don't get upset, and don't become bitter, and don't be angry, and don't be annoyed. This is your life, and look at the good side of it. He's telling you a lot of psychological tricks, but this is not tricks. It's all true. Everything he says is true, because Hashem is a native. So this is the best of all possible worlds. This is the best thing for you. So you know, as weird as it sounds, look at the bright side. I always wanted to tour the world. If I had a husband and 8 kids, I couldn't tour the world. Now I can. Tour the world. Very good. Nothing wrong. That's what he says you should do. And no one's there to bother you. You can. And that's how you deal with it. That's how a Baal Bitochon deals with a situation that a non Baal Bitochon would find depressing and would find sad. Okay, so he says, if you're into Olam Hazeh, there's a chiddush, right? He says, even if you're into Olam Hazeh, you could look at it as a bracha, that you're all alone. Just remember, Hashem is doing the best for you. So if you're into Olam Hazeh, look at it from the perspective that you have extra money, and you're free, your time is your own. Like everybody here at Pippi Longstocking's Thumb, right? She got up when she wanted, she went to sleep when she wanted, no one told her what to do, she had pancakes for breakfast, right? And those kids who had parents would visit her, and glicklach, like, look at this, what a wonderful life. Okay, let's work on the experiment now, so we'll stop here. The truth is, we expand when I learn how to tell others. I don't know what other questions there are. We talk about everything anyway.
I was reading in the Halachas of Chol HaMoed that one shouldn't do exercise. What about somebody who needs it?
One shouldn't do exercise when?
During Chol HaMoed. What about somebody who needs it for their health?
Then for sure it's okay. Certainly if a person that if you miss a day, first of all, if you need it for your health, it's certainly okay. If you miss a day and like you slip back, it's Dover HaAved even. If you do, you know, 5 more sit-ups every day, you miss a day and you slip back, that's a Dover HaAved. It's surprising to me. I don't know what kind of exercise we're talking about. I'm a little surprised. It's enjoyable. It's Simchas Moed. A lot of people. Maybe if you don't enjoy it, you do a regimen. I have to go to the gym today. I have my membership. I have to use up my membership fee. I don't want to get gypped. But certainly for health, it would be more term. You know. Yeah. Yeah.
You were saying like Hashem is always there, and it sounds like you're saying Hashem always loves you. Is there any such thing that Hashem can be mad at you, or?
If Hashem is mad at you, He's also doing it out of love. Just like when you get mad at your child, you're doing it out of love because you want your child to be good. He's never mad like we get mad at someone. I want to kill me. Hashem only gets mad out of love. Anyway, it's only a description. Hashem doesn't get mad and He doesn't get happy either. He doesn't anything, right? But we talk about Hashem being mad in the sense that when He's forced to make us suffer the consequences of our own actions, that's what we call Hashem getting mad. When He's, sometimes He can overlook what we do. Under certain circumstances, when there has to be, so to speak, a reaction, and we do things, and usually we suffer the consequences of our own actions. The pasuk says in Eicha, "Me'eis Hashem, me'ito lo teitzei haroz v'hatov." So many mepharshim explain that to mean that Hashem doesn't have to do anything; He just lets us, suffer the consequences of our actions. So when He lets that happen, He's mad. He's not saving us from ourselves, but He's doing it out of love. And we all know that with our children, right? We know exactly what that means, or it should be. If you ever find yourself getting mad at your children, and you're just plain mad, angry, it's bad. That's not a good thing. Watch out. I'm not talking to you now, obviously. If a parent finds themselves getting angry, and we all do, at certain times, especially when they're not going to sleep at night. So, halavai, we would all get angry at them for coming out of bed and not going to sleep, and it takes, I don't know about you, it takes like an hour and a half to put a kid to sleep. If you have 4 kids, that's like 8 hours. So sometimes we get angry at them because we want to go out, right? Well, let's admit it. That's not good. That's not good. That's kas, and it's bad kas, and you have no right to be kois on your child just because you're a parent and the kid's smaller than you. That's not right. It's wrong. If you're angry because you know that tomorrow they're not going to be able to get up to school, and they're not going to be listening to the teacher, and they're going to fall asleep, and it's not healthy for them, and our kids don't get enough sleep. I'm not just saying that. It's mamish studies. Studies and studies have been made that it's a huge problem. I mean, no one gets enough sleep. The electric light was a curse, not a blessing. I used to go to sleep. It got dark. You go to sleep. Now, you can party a whole night. And we do. But kids don't get enough sleep. This is Dr. Bayit Vegan, maybe you know him. He goes, everything can be ascribed. All the ear infections and all, everything. It's all because kids don't get enough sleep. He's an old time doctor. Maybe some of you know Bayit Vegan. But if you're angry because they're harming themselves, that's kosher and that's good, and that's how Hashem always gets angry at us. But now, if you get angry at them because you want to go out, and they're not letting you go out because they're up still, that's bad. But Hashem always gets angry at us the first way. Yeah.
My question for tonight was really acceptance, so this was very good, because this was really what I was wondering about. We had mentioned before in Shur that a lot is determined before someone's even born. Is this person going to have money or be intelligent? And somehow, like, when someone davens a lot for something, and if it doesn't happen, they start to get, like, a little bitter, and they become in a position where they're kind of almost not complaining to Hashem, it becomes like not a positive. So maybe at that point they should just accept, or do they keep davening?
I can't answer you. Rachel was very bitter, and
right.
She said, "Havali banim v'mayin mesa anochi," and the Ramban says she threatened suicide. That's what it means, v'mayin mesa anochi. Not like Rashi, who says the Amayim Mesa Nochi, that I'm Choshub Kameis because I don't have children. But the Ramban learns she threatened Yaakov with suicide. And the Ramban says she did it as a trick. What do you say to your husband? You want something from your husband? You say, you buy me that diamond ring or I'm going to commit suicide, right? But she was pressuring Yaakov to daven for her. And she said, I'm going to commit suicide. If you don't do it, I'm going to commit suicide. That's how bitter she was. But then she turned around. So I don't even know if I used to think that when you find yourself getting depressed, that's when you should stop. Just stop and just go back. Like, I don't, bitter also, really, but, you know, we have a model. If you can turn it around, yeah. Rachel, then, she was bitter, and then Yaakov verbally lashed out at her.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's the Ramban, not me. He lashed out at her. He said, "Atachas alakim anochi." And he said, "Accept it." That's what the Ramban says. Yaakov lashed out at her verbally and said, "Accept it. You're not going to have children. What do you know? Hashem doesn't want you to have children." So, and then she. But that was for myself. It's a Moyerdik Ramban. Everybody should learn it. So there's really no answer to your question. And every person has to, there's no objective answer. No one's going to sit there with a meter and say, okay, time to stop davening and start accepting. Your neshama, you know, I would say if a person becomes dysfunctional or depressed and stops functioning, then I would talk to the person to stop davening and start accepting at the point of being dysfunctional.
Sorry, I have a question.
Yeah.
But isn't it the same thing? We're accepting and at the same time I'm davening. Why is it?
That's what it should be together.
And
but
I'm angry about it. I don't like the situation. It's really completely against all my desire.
Instincts, yeah.
But I'm going to keep davening and I'm going to try to accept that. If it doesn't happen, then
that's
it's
perfect. That's the way
but
it should be. That dichotomy should always exist. No, that's ideal. That is the dichotomy that should always exist. But realize that it's a dichotomy. They're at odds. Those two hergeshim are really, that's what a dichotomy means. They're really at odds with each other. To the extent that you're dominating, you're not accepting. And to the extent that you're accepting, you wouldn't be dominating. So the ideal is to have both and keep dominating, but so that you don't turn bitter or angry or have tainus to Hashem, there's always a part of you that should be saying or thinking or, you know, as you're davening, you know, this might not work, and therefore I accept it as Hashem's will. But if that becomes too strong, you're going to find that you really can't daven then. Like, to the extent that you say, okay, it's Hashem's will, so then what am I doing? You know, so what am I doing davening? So it's a dichotomy. You just have to have both. So what Chazal tell us to do is daven, 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 and like a part of you should be ready for the disappointment. That would put the emphasis on davening. Because although this is talking about the point when, for some reason, maybe bitterness, maybe dysfunction, maybe the person got too old, you know, whatever the situation is. Or whether they're miyayish. Sometimes a person is miyayish. So you're miyayish, so now what do? So you deal with it. Don't fall into a depression. Miyayish means you give up, not dominating anymore. So now the Chavis HaFobos is teaching us, because this is Shara HaBitachon, so it's not Shara HaTfila. Shara HaBitachon, so he's teaching us what to think and what to, yeah. Okay, I'm going to start here, unlike every week, which will go till 10, because I'm really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to catch a 10 o'clock bus, and my usual ride is not here.
I have been elected outside to take the route to the bus stop, so if someone wants to come with me, live near me.
Oh, but then we can sit here fine. No, so I'm going to, thank you very much, but I'm going to walk now.
But they said that I had to insist us around.
Whose name?
I don't know, some man, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's the man that always gives me a ride.
And he said, please make sure.
No, but it's too late, because I stopped there.